This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's 6 o'clock wartime on this cool, clear Thursday night, Christmas Eve, 1942. Broadcasting from KUWS radio studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the latest war news. Ray Paulson has the sports, and Harriet Farig looks at Duluth and Superior women being trained in welding so they can work in our shipyards. Now, Lou Martin with the Wisconsin Telephone Company 6 o'clock news. Wisconsin Telephone Company reminding you that long-distance telephone calls over Christmas to points of war activity are likely to get in the way of the war. Good evening, Lou, and Merry Christmas to you.
And a very Merry Christmas to you, Jack, and to our good listeners. We begin with tragic news for a Bayfield family. The first soldier from Bayfield has been killed in action. The widow, Mrs. Hazel Saunders, was notified by the War Department that her son, Sergeant James Saunders, lost his life in North Africa on November the 8th. November the 8th was the date that Allied forces landed in French North Africa, beginning an invasion that ultimately hopes to push the Nazi troops off the African continent. James Saunders enlisted in October of 1940, was trained at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, survived by his mother, Hazel, one brother, Corporal Alden Saunders, and three sisters. After 140 days of hellish fighting in tropical jungles, the Marines at Guadalcanal are being relieved. These leathernecks who first stormed Guadalcanal on August the 7th, in the first American offensive of the war, have been removed from the Solomon Islands, possibly to Australia, for a more peaceful Christmas celebration. Although the operation is not over, no significant fighting has taken place since the end of November. We have shortwave radio reports from three war fronts of Allied forces. We begin with Daryl Berrigan covering the fighting in New Guinea.
This is Buna calling. Buna, New Guinea calling. Daryl Berrigan reporting. Japanese forces in the Buna area of New Guinea, their fortifications breached in many places and their ranks decimated by the Allied offensive, are now in desperate straits, a communique from General Douglas MacArthur's headquarters said Thursday. Deprived of their sufficient seaborne supplies and reinforcements by Allied aerial action against their convoys, the Japanese have been battered by United States and Australian troops for weeks and subjected to a terrific pounding from the air. Our attack has breached enemy fortifications in many places, the noon communique said. Many hundred of his dead are being buried by our troops. His situation must now be regarded as desperate. Another headquarters announcement Thursday told of the wounding of three United States Brigadier Generals. Brigadier General Albert W. Waldron of Rochester, New York, shot through the shoulder when only 25 yards from the enemy lines near Buna, December 5th. Has been awarded the Distinguished Service Cross by General MacArthur for extraordinary heroism in action. With his orderly, Private James Borman of Madison, Wisconsin, General Waldron had been knocked down by a Japanese grenade, but both got up unhurt and pressed toward the enemy, a spokesman said, while moving forward under heavy fire with complete disregard for his own safety, the general was hit. Waldron, now in an Australian hospital, praised Private Borman for his fearless action in helping him from the field. With the Allied fighting forces in Buna, New Guinea, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting, calling Stalingrad.
This is Stalingrad calling. Your reporter, Eddie Gilmore, here, pressing southward across Middle Don steppes in an unchecked pace. The Red Army Thursday captured several more Cossack towns and rapidly narrowed the 180-mile gap between Malervo and Rostov, in which the German command depended on a land connection with its hundreds of thousands of men before Stalingrad and in the Caucasus. The Russians are sweeping forward at a rate of 12 to 18 miles a day, and Pravda, the Communist Party organ, said the Germans in at least one sector were in wild disorder, leaving 17 undamaged Messerschmitt fighting planes on one airfield, which suddenly were scooped into the Soviet net. The position of Malevo doubtlessly was the German commander's greatest concern at the moment, for the fall of this city of 13,000 would leave them only one main line, the railway, and two secondary lines, which connect below Kanetz, the means of communication to German troops to the northeast and in the Caucasus. The German noon communique reported that in the first 7 days of the offensive, Russian troops had advanced from 72 to 100 miles. Russian commanders counted 44,000 Germans slain on the Middle Don battleground since the offensive began. With the Red Army in Stalingrad, this is Eddie Gilmore reporting. Calling North Africa, calling Dakar.
This is Dakar calling. Correspondent Joseph Morton reporting. By land, sea, and air, Allied forces have landed in this port city near Tunisia. This is another link in the chain around Axis forces which currently hold Tunis and western Libya. Nazi control of the Dark Continent continues to dwindle as Allied invasion forces open new ports for supplies such as Dakar. The Italian High Command claims the Allies have launched an armored attack toward Tunis and Bizerte. This was a stirring day to see American forces link up with friendly French troops here in Dakar. But all is far from certain here. A French communique confirms the German counteroffensive in central Tunisia is underway this Christmas Eve. But so far, the French continue to hold their ground and are taking many prisoners. Meanwhile, Allied headquarters in North Africa report American soldiers dressed in olive drab are walking that six-mile road from Jerusalem to the Church of the Nativity to celebrate Christmas midnight service. The church is built on what is believed to be the site of the manger in which Jesus was born. The soldiers are marching with the thousands of locals who make this sacred journey every year. Here in Dakar, American soldiers are dreaming of a white Christmas a year from now. They hope to be celebrating victory in Berlin in 1943. Until then, the American Expeditionary Force will dine on cold mutton this Christmas. With the Allied forces in Dakar, this is Joseph Morton reporting.
War correspondents around the globe were given a Christmas greeting from Associated Press Chief Kent Cooper. Cooper told reporters by radio that their stories have, quote, put iron in the veins of the fighting people. War has never been so thoroughly, so truthfully, so colorfully reported as it is today and every day by men who share the risks of the fighting on the front lines and convey that story to the world over radio, unquote. Pope Pius broadcast his Christmas message from Vatican City today. He says that we're in an era of people who have forgotten that God exists. Pope Pius appealed to men of goodwill to bring peace to the world. In keeping with the effort to conserve energy, the National Christmas Tree in Washington does not have lights on it this year. It was dedicated in a daytime ceremony by President Roosevelt. The Roosevelt family will observe a somber Christmas like most American families. All four of their sons are away at war. The Eddie Rickenbacker family's happy today. Mrs. Rickenbacker met the fabled American World War I ace at Bowling Field in Washington on the West Coast after he had been rescued in the Pacific. Eddie Rickenbacker's fighting plane was forced down, and he was missing afloat for 3 weeks. Staff Sergeant Frank Mullen of New York probably put it best. He says that Christmas won't be the same this year, but it could be worse. Stationed in London, he compares midnight mass at Westminster Abbey to midnight mass at his church in Brooklyn, which is St. Brendan's. Sergeant Mullen and his outfit will have ham for Christmas dinner. They voted to send their turkey to the children in British hospitals. Wisconsin Telephone Company News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this important word from our sponsor.
Thanks, Lou. Are you going to telephone this Christmas in the interest of the war? If you telephone someone in another city on Christmas Day, we hope to complete your call promptly. We'll try our best. The telephone operators and many telephone men will be on the job all day. To most points, particularly in Wisconsin, we expect to be able to complete calls without unusual delay. However, calls to points of war activity, army camps, naval stations, and to distant points are likely to get squarely in the way of the war. So please don't make long-distance calls to war-busy centers this Christmas unless they are vital. If your Christmas call is delayed or is not completed, we know you will understand. Many thanks, ladies and gentlemen, and a Merry Christmas to you all from the Wisconsin Telephone Company. That's quite a touching story about our doughboys in London donating their turkey dinners to the children in British hospitals.
Well, it's proof that even in the worst of times, we can show the best of ourselves. The confusion around the number 3 coupons needed to get home heating fuel oil to warm Wisconsin homes has Governor Julius Heil angry. He called on the federal government to let Wisconsin open its fuel oil reserves now and rely on people to ration themselves. He says supplies are plentiful in the state and rationing books have not gotten to the people fast enough. People around Upper Wisconsin are doing what they can to help each other this holiday season. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more. Merry Christmas, Mike.
Well, Merry Christmas, Lou, and to one and all. Superior City Manager Fred Buechner is starting a new shelter for single men. The city is taking over the men's shelter at the County Welfare Building on 229 Tower Avenue. Miss Margaret Orchard will be the lead caseworker, and Miss Lita Sheldrup will assist as secretary and typist. 68 baskets of food and goodies for children will go out to needy families in the Ashland area. This is thanks to the Ashland Elks. Exalted ruler V.P. Davies says it's an important effort. He had help from Walter Cate and Walter Wilcox, Milton Bond, and Ray Seuss. The three angels are walking the halls of St. Francis Hospital in Superior tonight. Actually, they're three little girls from St. Francis School. In keeping with the custom at St. Francis Hospital, the girls visit each patient and wish them a Merry Christmas and a rapid recovery. A rather sweet custom, eh, Lou?
Indeed, Mike. Thanks for those nice stories. The boys and girls of the old Patterson Mansion Orphanage have been busy this week. Shipbuilders Local 117 of the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers sent one of their own as Santa Claus Sunday night. Each child was given a wrapped gift, plus candy and nuts. The union also donated swings and tables and chairs for the nursery. The Junior Chamber of Commerce donated 2 Christmas trees, complete with red, white, and blue lights. And the Scandinavian Salvation Army brought gifts and sang songs for the orphans. And that's not all. Monday night, workers at the Walter Butler Shipyards brought the children to the Butler Recreation Hall and threw a big party. The men's chorus sang, and each child was given a pen and pencil set. And last night, it was candy, pop, and popcorn, courtesy of the Diamond City chapter of the Masonic Lodge.
That's a lot of goodies and sweets, Lou. What do I have to do to become an orphan?
Now, that's not funny, Jack.
Maybe I could be a part-time orphan.
I don't think so, Jack.
Just having some fun, Lou. Thanks for the news, Lou, and thank you folks all around doing these kind of things for the children at the Superior Orphanage. It gets us right into the Christmas spirit. The wartime weather forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this December the 24th, 1942, is very Christmas-Eve-ish, friends. Look for clear skies and a low tonight of about 3 degrees above. Let's hope Santa's wearing his long johns. On Christmas Day, we'll have some sunshine and a temperature in the 20s. And let's keep that Christmas joy jing, jing, jingling along, folks. Here's Vaughn Monroe and Let It Snow on station KUWS.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye.
kiss goodnight. How I'll hate to go out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
Vaughn Monroe himself and Let It Snow. Yes, friends, gather around that old Philco tonight for some warm radio cheer. Merry Christmas wishes come from M. Burger Hardware at 6th and Tower Avenue. Best wishes, too, from Bertha's Friendly Tavern, just outside the city on Highway 13, 1.5 miles east of Highway number 53. Of course, Police Chief Arthur Buchanan reminds everyone that taverns within the city limits are closed Christmas Day. As he put it, let the sale of spirits close for 24 hours while the real spirit of Christmas is celebrated. So the gang at Conway's Tavern on Tower Avenue have the day off tomorrow, but Spike, Pat, Blackie, and Murph hope your celebration is with the ones you love. Lignell's Rexall Drugstore and their staff of Ariel Tracy, Annette Huber, Harriet Sims, Liz Tribby, Arthur Moen, and Oliver Spires wish you and yours a happy holiday. Greetings for a real old-fashioned American Christmas from Superior State Bank. The Federal Bakery wishes their friends and customers a Merry Christmas and prosperous New Year. Independent Dry Cleaners extends its best holiday wishes and hopes to serve you in the new year, 1943. All this cheer kind of makes me want to go ho, 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 the night away. Let's hear the enjoyable music now of Ted Weems with Parker Gibbs on the vocal, the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. On the way is the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire, face unafraid the plans we have made, walking in a winter wonderland.
The toe-tapping sing-along music of Ted Weems on station KUWS. Ho, ho, ho to you, Ray, And folks, you know what that means. It's time for the sporting news with Rapid Ray Paulson.
Ho, ho, ho yourself, Jack. You sound like you've already gotten into your Christmas presents or something else. You haven't been peeking, have you?
Maybe, well, maybe a little package shaking. No, Ray, it's simply that time of the year, old friend. Maybe as we get older, we tend to appreciate it more.
Maybe the war and sacrifice makes this Christmas special. We may be a little too old to be drafted into the service, but we know many people who are, as they say, over there.
Yeah, that's got a lot to do with it. We can't take anything for granted these days. So it's just nice to have Christmas and all it stands for.
Oh, deep down, Jack, you're just a fuzzy old sentimentalist. Hey, sporting fans, it may be Christmas, but we're already thinking spring and baseball. Joseph Eastman in the Office of Defense Transportation is asking teams to hold spring training closer to their home cities and not down in Florida. Eastman says it will help ease all the travel problems we have now. The first to jump on the bandwagon is Connie Mack, 80 years young. His Philadelphia Athletics usually get ready in California, but this spring they'll make Savannah, Georgia their spring headquarters. The Cubs planned on French Lick, Indiana. It has everything they need except a ballpark. Oh, well. The National Football League champs Washington Redskins are getting ready to play the league all-stars in the Pro Bowl Classic at Frozen Scheib Park. Led by Anvil Andy Farkas, Skins coach Ray Flaherty hopes to continue the momentum when they beat George Halas's Bears 2 weeks ago. The Packers will be well represented. Quarterback Cecil Isbell will be chucking the ball to Don Hutson, among others. And speaking of upsets, those boys from Drummond High School almost pulled one off, nearly beating the undefeated Ashland squad 41-37 yesterday. Ashland coach Melvin had to use all of his 10 Pure Golders to win. Most troublesome to the Pure Golders was Dick Josephson, who scored 12 of Drummond's 15 field goals. Tomlinson and Nyland led the Ashland Quint scoring. And that, my friends, is the sporting news. This is Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, Ray. I hope you get those golf clubs you've been wishing for.
And I hope that you get that real fire truck I know you've been eyeing.
Cute. Very cute. All righty then, friends. Here's one for the kiddies out there and the young at heart, too. This is Benny Goodman and Jingle Bells on the Martin and McKenna Christmas Eve 1942 show on station KUW.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, folks. Benny Goodman and the Rhythm Makers on station KUWS. And kids, here's a real special treat just for you. Tune in tomorrow night when Uncle Bob will be in with the Fair and Square Club kids, and then Captain Q will be here too, believe it or not, reading you 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Don't miss it.
Two questions for you, Jack. Why is Captain Q reading The Night Before Christmas on Christmas? He should do that tonight. And what would you do with a brand new red fire truck?
We won't talk about the red fire truck, Lou. Probably won't get it anyway. Since they stopped making metal toys for the duration of the war, that is, and we have something special instead of Captain Q tonight anyway. It's a little surprise.
But I can't wait. Let's bring in community editor Harriet Feurig with this very interesting story of women preparing to work in our shipyards. This is quite a story, Harriet.
Quite, Lewis. Times are changing so fast, and the role of women in this war is changing with it. Already women are doing what they can to help the war effort. We have women in Washburn doing the more traditional work, taking part in the Red Cross surgical dressing program. Mrs. H.B. Curry has announced that 34,000 pieces of gauze are to be folded in January and February for surgical sponges. Mrs. Curry and Bayfield County Red Cross Chairman Mrs. W.A. Gustafson have trained 30 women in Iron River, Bayfield, Washburn, and Cornucopia so far. But women are proving they can do anything if given equal chance. Superior vocational officials have a 250-hour class in welding and machine shop. Miss Stephanie Diggle of Duluth is one of the ladies almost finished with the class. She'll get her arc welding certificate and will be qualified to work at Globe or Butler Shipyards or any other plant, Lewis.
The ladies are adapting all right?
The vocational school says women work as fast and as efficient as men once they've had the training. In fact, they say that women are more earnest in learning this new trade than men.
Well, you know, that's good because I see the U.S. Employment Service has a labor shortage on its hands right now.
They say one in three workers at war plants will be a woman next year. Makes me think maybe I should take that arc welding course myself.
You can do anything that you put your mind to, Harriet.
Oh, Lewis, you're just saying that.
I mean it, Harriet.
I think that's a good idea. It's nice to know a welder. Maybe she could do some work on my old Essex. Thanks, Harriet. Happy welding.
I bet you you'll get your red fire truck, Jack. You've been a reasonably good boy this year.
Not as good as Lewis, of course. On with the holiday music, friends. Here's none other than that new Christmas hit by Bing Crosby on station KUWS.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your day merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the
necessary, folks. The crooning elegance of Bing Crosby and White Christmas.
Hey, Jack, I just got this item in from Mr. and Mrs. E.C. Davidson of North 21st Street about their son, Glenn. His commanding officer in Iceland dropped them a line saying that Glenn is well and is doing a fine job.
From his CO. Hey, that's unusual. Merry Christmas to Private Glenn Davidson. Lou and friends, here is Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy with a special tribute written by Reed Bain. Mr. Bain is the editor of the Manitowoc Herald Times, but was a reporter for the Evening Telegram for several years.
Thanks, Jack, for letting me read this. I was impressed enough to print it on the front page in today's editions of our paper. It's called War Christmas. No candles shine as shone before the blackout of a total war. No Christmas lights strung by the score to light the traveler to the door. The heathen knows no Christmas tide because o'erhead his bombers ride. The Christ child wanders in the night, bereft of all the Christmas light. But high above, the stars shine clear as once they led the wise men near a manger in that olden year. When Christ was born to banish fear, the powers of darkness rule today. And while they wield their evil sway, the Christ child wanders in the night, bereft of all the Christmas light. So if today no candles glow above the drifted Christmas snow, or cheery lights the path to show that even simple shepherds know, the inner light shall lead the way from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day, and he whose heart with love is bright shall guide the Christ child through the night. War Christmas 1942 by Reed Bain. Jack?
Well done, Mr. Murphy. We wish all of you and your loved ones, if not a Merry Christmas, perhaps a thankful one. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.